Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents... Recorded live in Chicagoland, USA.
All right, check. Microphone, I'm talking about things. Hi, I'm Luke. This is a podcast.
A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
Everything's awesome.
Everything's awesome.
Just take a look around you. You just can't go.
Everything's a song. The possibilities may astound you.
Hi, I'm Carrie.
And I'm Luke.
And this is Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
A podcast.
Episode number 26.
Yay!
We're recording this on October 19th of 2010.
Oh my gosh, that places this into a context in the space-time continuum.
Yes.
In case Doctor Who needs to find us. Or Marty McFly.
Or
Dr. Floyd. Or some Nando's chicken-eating robot, but we won't get into that right now.
The Quantum Leap guys. Or the Futurama people. Or,
the Terminator. Hero. Dr. Steve.
Hi. We're Luke and Carrie, and we make lists now. This has been a list of
time travelers from popular fiction and unpopular fiction. And fiction you've never heard of. So, what's new in your life, Carrie?
I went to Con on the Cob.
What's new in your life that doesn't have to do with Con on the Cob, Carrie? What's it feel like being put on the spot, Carrie?
It feels kind of like having my nuts crushed with a nut crusher, even though I don't have nuts.
Well, you have your husband's nuts. You own 50% of them, which would be one. So it's like having
which
your...
nut do I own? Josh, which one of your nuts do I own? He's not here. I'm at Luke's house.
You know, if Josh wanted to reply, he could go to, badreport.com and leave a comment.
He doesn't listen anymore.
Why not?
I don't know. He's like two or three episodes behind.
Okay.
Well, this will be the third.
So
what's new in your life that has nothing to do with the con?
Well, using some of my own money and some money from wedding gift type stuff, of which Sarah and I are still writing out thank you notes and sending them off to people, I was finally able to, some of you may remember, I did a song about a independent comic book called Scud, the Disposable Assassin. It got posted on the Fump back in the summer of 08, and there was a
I was
fan,
in it.
Yes.
And so is Chris Mezzalesta.
Yes. There was a fan video contest done by the creator, Rob Schraub, somebody who I used to do improv comedy with back during my high school days.
Who's now all famous and
shit. He's now all Mr. Big Shot Hollywood type of dude, and he's the co-creator of the Sarah Silverman Show, and he co-wrote the movie Monster House with Dan Harmon, and he's worked with Tenacious D, he's worked with Death Cab for Cutie, he's done a bunch of really cool stuff, and for us comedy music and comedy nerds, he is the Mountain Dew guy from the infamous Dungeons & Dragons sketch. But, anyway, the main thing here is Scud, his comic book done in the mid-90s, which he made 20 issues and then stopped... Took a 10-year hiatus and then came back, did four more issues to finish it off, and then they released it as a big comic book omnibus that you can buy. And to celebrate the release of that, he did a fan video contest, which people were mainly doing like little 3-minute plot lines. I decided to do a 3-minute tribute song and then make a video for it. Came in third in the contest, and because of that, he gave me as a prize a page from one of the original issues of the original run of Scud. I can't remember if it's from issue 17 or 18, but it's somewhere in there. An adventure where Scud and his girlfriend, Susudio, they're kind of in a quantum leap kind of thing where they end up zapping around these different timelines and universes and strange places. They end up in a very medieval Dungeons & Dragons type of world. So
you're now a fan of someone you used to be a peer of.
In a manner of speaking, yes. He sent me the artwork, but then he also, along with that artwork, sent me some like bonus pieces of artwork, one of which was a drawing that ended up being like photocopied and reduced and used in issue 2 of Scud. It's actually at the very end of the TV commercial for Scud, where that whole "it can kill at will or be mania kill, it's Scud, the disposable assassin," kind of like Scud holding up the logo with a flag, an American eagle behind it. And I was kind of like shocked and taken aback that he sent me that, because that's kind of an important iconic piece of artwork from the series. So
I guess he doesn't value it as much as you do.
Well, I mean, well, more to the point, like, I think he wanted to be like, "Hey, that was a really cool thing you did. You know, I want to give you a little bonus thing because, you know, we're old pals, so to speak."
Yeah. Who picked the winners?
He did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Rob picked. There were like 13 entries, and I honestly wasn't expecting to be in one of the top three. But he ended up giving out 4 prizes instead of 3 because there were a top 4 that he really liked.
Yeah.
So if you go look for Rob Schraub, Schraab, look him up on YouTube, and you can find, or go to robschraub.com, you can find all the old entries of all the other people who went into the contest. It was freaking epic as hell.
And then the point you're getting to?
The point I'm getting to, well, the other thing I wanted to mention is, back in the day when I knew him, you know, when Scud first came out, we were doing these improv classes together. I asked him to do a pencil sketch of Scud in one of my art notebooks. I asked him to draw Scud holding, you know, pulling out his guns and saying the phrase "perish in flame, fanboy." And he started working on it, and at first it was just going to be, you know, a run-of-the-mill quick sketch, but as he kept working on it, he kind of started getting into it, like, "Oh, this is turning out really good." So he wanted to make it like a super high-quality sketch. So he finished it up, and, you know, it was just kind of hiding in one of my notebooks ever since. So when I won this prize artwork and got this bonus artwork, I'm like, "Dude, I totally want to have this professionally framed, hanging up, you know, wherever I am working on, you know, my artwork as kind of, you know, inspirational art and just a really cool thing to display." So when I moved just over a year ago, I dropped off that art at a place in Kenosha where my mom always gets things professionally framed. And they said to get it framed, it was going to cost like $245 to do what I wanted to do, which is a pretty significant chunk of change. So I dropped off the artwork, and I'd been paying them like a little bit at a time, but, you know, I wasn't anywhere near paying it off until just recently when we got this wedding money, and I asked Sarah if I could use some of it to pay that off so I could like bring this over and finally have it up in my house. I decorated the rest of this room, but left a space specifically on the wall for it. So I have that up on display now, and it makes me very happy. I'll probably take a picture of me in front of it and use that as the image for this episode, because I can't think of anything else to do. So yeah, I also pulled out some.
I could see if Wayne got any good pictures of us performing at the con.
Well, that'd be good too. So there's also some Scud rarity memorabilia besides the actual book itself, the omnibus, which Rob autographed for me, plus a action figure in the box and an action figure out of the box. I also have a couple of rare Scud items, a couple of video games that were made.
He's basically got a whole Scud shrine over there.
Yeah. One is for the Sega Saturn, and it came out back in the day when I was working as a caricature artist in Kansas City, making enough money every weekend that I could afford to go out and buy a Sega Saturn just for the sake of playing that one video game. And I still have the Sega Saturn. It's in the basement. Part of me considered bringing it up here and setting it up just so that I could play the Scud game along with my shrine. But and then the other thing is a Scud game for PC that runs on Windows 95. I don't think I ever actually played it, or I may have tried to set it up on my computer, and my computer was a piece of crap and it never worked, or something to that effect. But, you know, they're both in, like, super pristine condition. So basically, I'm really happy about having this here. I mean, just sometimes I just sit and stare at it, and it's just awesome to me. To see, like, that was, you know, a real part of this thing that I'm really into. So, you know, I have converted some people to Scud fandom, like Breakman Z. He went out and got the omnibus through Image Comics. It's about $30. It's about,
yeah,
it's, well, like, seven.
Well, and my husband.
Yeah, and what did Josh say about Scud?
Best comic book ever.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what I think. So go to Image Comics website, I'm sure, or Amazon. I'm sure it's, if you just Scud the Disposable Assassin omnibus, it's like $30. It's totally worth it. It's the best 5.5 hours you'll ever spend reading, you know, the most awesome graphic novel ever made. So yeah, there you go. All right, so let's move on with this episode. We are trying, probably in vain, but trying to keep this one short.
Short-ish.
So we're going to start by playing the song that we have been hinting about for oh so long.
The one that was written and recorded the day after Luke's wedding with a dementia supergroup.
Yes, a dementia supergroup and a time limit of, it was probably just about or just over 2 hours of time we had in which to write and record a song before Shoebox had to leave to go to the airport with our five-person supergroup consisting of me, Carrie, Rob Balder, Shoebox of Worm Quartet, and Chris Mazzalesta of Power Salad, forming the supergroup Carrie's Baldski Power Box. So here it is for our first and last tune ever, a song called Fabulist on Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. A list of things we initially came up with when trying to figure out what to do for this song. It's unreal how Danny DeVito drives a go-kart, even though it seems frivolous to Humphrey Bogart. President Lincoln's beard was assassinated 3 days before he was. Shoebox's face gets closer, and then it makes me do things. Carrie knows what typing is. I only like shows that were canceled. Everybody fuck Shoebox.
I have to go urinate.
Why do I have to look at Dennis Haysbert in order to get free music?
Luke, you need some shorts that fit you. I can see your package.
I don't have time for your compliments. I'm too busy being awesome.
A variety pack of crappiness.
Fuck you! We make lists now. Fuck you! Hope you're happy. It's on to this now. Fuck you! Don't buy our album. And now we're pissed. You reduced us all to hobbyists.
You, the audience, are phoning it in. Why shouldn't we?
A list of ways television can be harmful.
Content.
Being hit on the head with one. Electrocuting you.
Showing reruns of the Pat Sajak show.
A list of what Ken and Josh are doing while we write this song.
Gaming.
Ignoring us.
Breathing.
Farting.
A list of things in Luke's kitchen.
We need fat grilling machine, toaster oven, blender, musician's lounge, memo board, canola oil, pepper grinder, plus shrimp magnet with jaunty top hat, Frisky's party mix, cat food dispenser, recycle bin, oven, beans, tile, accordion magnet, warning in Spanish with fix to the blind, really big sharp knife, dishes that Luke didn't wash yet, sweet baby raised barbecue sauce, tea, Iron Man 2, Diet Dr. Pepper can, Cuisinette food processor, cookbook, Luke's kitchen has everything and the kitchen sink. I get it? Stop.
Fuck you! We make lists now.
Fuck you!
Hope you're happy. It's come to this now.
Fuck you!
Don't buy our album, and now we're pissed. You've reduced us all to hobbyists.
A list of ironic things.
The irony of saying fuck you to the only people who actually buy our albums.
Five of us decided to pull a song out of our asses, and Tom Smith left the area yesterday.
A list of ideas we rejected while writing this song.
None. Wow, Luke, this is fun. You should get married more often.
And now, a list of lists.
Wish. Wish. Grocery. Wish. Wine. Wish. Dessert. Wish. To-do. Wish. Friends. Wish. Yes. Wish. Check. Wish. Late Show. Top 10. Wish. FBI Most Wanted. Wish. Enemies. Wish. Black. Wish. Hits. Wish. Shit. Wish. Craigs. Wish. Fraud. Wish. Shell. Wish. Anal. Wish.
What?
Anal list.
You mean analyst?
Yeah.
That's dumb. You suck.
Sorry.
And now I'm in this too.
Fuck you! We make lists now.
Fuck you!
Hope you're happy. It's come to this now.
Fuck you!
Don't buy our albums. And now we're pissed. You've reduced us all to hobbyists.
And now we're going to be so lazy that we're just going to read off what's on these apples to apples cards.
Suck!
So there you have it, in all of its glory, if you can use the word glory.
And it's gotten bafflingly positive reviews from like 6 or 7 people.
As well as the positive reaction it got when it was premiered live at Con and the Cob.
Yes.
Which we'll get into later. So
they laughed hardest at the line that I wrote, the irony of saying fuck you to the only people who actually buy our album. The only thing I was going to say, other than before the Con and the Cob review, is something I should have said earlier. I actually had sleep last night. I'm caffeinated, so my mood and disposition is a lot better than it usually is when we record these fucking things. So,
yay!
Hopefully it'll be a slightly more entertaining than usual show, but we'll see.
So, Con and the Cob review!
You're going to have to come up here by the mic.
I'm going to have to come up here by the mic.
So it started with Ken picking up Luke at Luke's house on Friday morning and Luke taking at least a half hour to finish getting ready. And then Luke and Ken drove over to my house, picked me up. We stopped by KFC / Taco Bell. Oh, the combination. The combination Taco Bell and KFC. We stopped by there to get our lunch. And then we went over to pick up Mr. Tuesday, Jared Perez, whichever name you want to call him by. And got on the road. Everything was really backed up on the interstate. And we started off our audio by playing the new Flat 29. Yes, we said it for the first time in the episode.
Won't be the last.
We played the new episode of Flat 29, which is the time-traveling adventures of Sherlock Holmes, the musical.
Yes.
Something like that.
It is, yeah, the time-traveling musical adventures of Sherlock Holmes, the musical. Okay. And I know that's the title because I was asked by Dan to do the, you know, quote-unquote cover artwork for the soundtrack of the album for that particular episode because yes. They intend to make that its own special thing over at flat29.com.
Yes.
But it is the current most recent new podcast episode of Flat29's Big Book of Everything. It's 32 minutes long. It's got like 4 or 5 songs in it. It's very super hilarious and awesome. So we highly recommend it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So at this point, Jared had already stated how he gave Flat 29's podcast a try and it wasn't his thing. But, you know, he went ahead and listened to the Sherlock Holmes musical anyways. And Ken, who at one time wasn't the biggest fan of the Sherlock Holmes bits, seemed to enjoy the musical. So the road trip went on. I think the next notable thing to say about the road trip is when it became literal.
Oh, you and your wit and your wordplay and puns.
Yes, Luke tripped and hurt himself, and it was partially my fault because I was kind of, I was not putting safety first like my workplace teaches me that I should put safety first 24/7. And instead I was kind of like trying to ram into Luke to like, you know, because I was like giving him shit about something. Don't even remember what at this point. And this is when he was like right, like on a curb, and I didn't actually push him, but he didn't have enough room to walk, and then he tripped, and then he scraped his knee. No, first he landed on a large paper cup of Coke, and then he scraped up his knee, and so that delayed us.
Fortunately, my Popeye's chicken was saved.
Yes.
Because there were no other chicken franchises available.
So I had to buy him two bottles of Coke and some antibiotic and crappy Band-Aids.
Those are the worst Band-Aids I saw in my life. They had, like, no stickiness to them at all. It was retarded. I mean, the Neosporin, you know, was fine, so,
it,
you know.
It was leotarded, not retarded.
Okay. So, fortunately, Sarah had just recently packed or made for me a little travel kit kind of thing that, full of, you know, yeah, the normal toiletries, but also had a bunch of extra stuff in it.
I know this already, but especially after I saw that, I'm like, okay, Sarah would be an awesome mom. You know, I know she doesn't necessarily want to be a mom, but, like, she's got it down with taking care of you.
So I went into Sarah's kit and, like, managed to piece together some kind of bandagey thing to put on my knee to cover it for at least the first day, and then after that it had kind of healed over and scabbed enough that I could, like, go without the bandage and it would just be fine. It wasn't like any kind of a major gash, it was just a scrape.
Yeah.
It was just annoying because it was holding us up on an already long journey from Chicago to Cleveland.
Yeah, it's...
Cleveland!
It's like... from my house, I think it's 350 miles, or my apartment. So we showed up, we checked in, me and Luke were rooming together since Josh has had his own ordeal in Boston at work. And to be honest, you know, I wouldn't have confirmed for the con if I'd have known Josh couldn't come with me, but he found this out, like, 1 to 3 days after I confirmed and said that I would definitely go and perform. So.
And Sarah didn't come with because she had used up all her vacation days on, like, the wedding and honeymoon and stuff. So she doesn't have any more days off for the rest of the year, which sucks, but.
Yeah, I have only 2 left, and that includes sick time.
So we were just looking at the situation, like, okay, so Carrie has a room to herself, and then it's going to be me, Ken and Jared in the other room. It's like, well, that's stupid. Let's move one of us over to the room with Carrie.
Yeah, it was kind of done without my consultation, but I decided to take it because then, A, I would, you know, save $90, and B, I wouldn't be alone all the time.
Yes.
So anyways, I was dealing with the room while you made it to Max DeGroot. I didn't get in there at all during Max DeGroot. And
I walked in while he was doing his first song, and he did a decent show. He's got decent singing voice. You know, his songs are clever and such. I probably should have put some thought into this before I started talking, but. You know, of the folks submitting songs to the Fump Sideshow, Max is one of, you know, the better ones. He, you know, probably still needs to learn a little bit about production quality when it comes to, like, recording MP3s and stuff like that. But, you know, his ideas are good. His lyrics are clever. His singing voice is passable.
The only time I saw him perform was at MarsCon, and I remember thinking he had good facial expressions.
Yeah. Plus, he's also trying to incorporate at least a little bit of props and costumes. The one thing he did that he has a song about the payday, the candy bar. Mm-hmm. So during that song, he starts throwing paydays into the audience. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. And then later on in the set, it's like he has a song about, like, bubblegum or something. So he starts throwing bubblegum into the audience. And I'm thinking, dude, only do that shtick once in a set, you know? You only get one, I'm going to throw bits of food at the audience, you know, unless you're Gallagher, which you aren't.
I'm being called by my husband. Could we pause it?
Sure.
Okay. Hi, Josh.
And we're back.
And we were talking about, you were talking about Max DeGroot.
Well, anyway, overall, you know, Max, he's he's come a long way in a short time, and I hope he continues to improve. But yeah, I enjoyed his show.
Meanwhile, I didn't even get to Power Salad till it was almost over. So if you want to talk about that, and then I'll talk about what I was doing.
Chris did a great show, as he always does. He did some songs he hasn't done in a while, and some of which I may have never actually seen him do before. He did Caffeine Kathleen. He did his newest one, the Electric Razor Blues, which was awesome and funny.
Oh, I missed that.
Plus, I don't know if you were there when he was there, but Craig Marks, the other member of Power Salad, was actually in the room and showed up for the show.
Yeah, I knew he was there. He didn't go on stage, did he?
No, he's kind of the non-performing side of it. He just is the lyricist and idea man.
He's like the Spaff of Power Salad.
Yes. So, you know, Chris did an awesome show.
Except Chris does write some of the lyrics.
Yeah. So.
So
Rob Balder went next.
Well, I'm going to talk about what I was doing.
Okay.
I managed to be dealing with two things at once, being locked out of my room and having a low blood sugar. And to make a long story short, while I'm doing this and I'm going to the front desk, I find out the guy at the front desk is a type 1 diabetic that was up until recently on the same insulin pump that I'm on. And now he stopped using the insulin pump because he's doing police academy training and he either damaged it while wrestling around during some training or realized that it would eventually get damaged and went back to using the just injections. But it was just a really interesting conversation because now I've met two people who do or did use the pump, and he apparently would go like a whole week at a time without changing the site over, and then his blood sugar would shoot up, and I was confused. I was like, well, why did that happen? He's like, because the wound heals and the insulin wasn't going in. And I was like, oh, ew. So now I know not to repeat that mistake. So it's always interesting talking to other pump users, and by always I mean twice. So then I was finally in the room for the rest of the night during Rob's show. But I wasn't 100% paying attention. I was kind of bouncing around in the back row trying to burn off energy.
Yes. And, you know, Rob Balder did an interesting show for him because he has, for those of you who don't know who Rob Balder is, he is a webcomics person. He did the webcomic Partial Eclipse for many years. He recently handed that over to Shoebox of Worm Quartet. His big project is a webcomic called Earthworld, which was actually
ERF.
Yeah, ERFWORLD, earthworld.com, I believe is their website. And it's gotten tons of critical acclaim from, you know, big things like Time Magazine have talked about how great it is. And he is in the process of trying to get that made into an actual printed book, you know, that somebody could purchase for a gift this holiday season. And he's under a time crunch, and he needs to re-letter and re-word balloon the entire thing for print because of, you know, needing a better, crisper resolution for print as opposed to having it on your computer screen. So it's a huge undertaking because there's, you know, I don't know exactly how many pages are in the first volume, but it's at least 150.
Yeah.
Plus a bunch of typed pages that were kind of like additional addendum material and this and that. So he and his good friend Kiki, who's a friend of ours as well.
She lives in this area, Chicago.
Yes. Yes, she actually moved to this area with the help of my lovely wife, Sarah, by Sarah letting her crash on her couch in a matter of speaking for about 6 months. So Rob came to Chicago to get Kiki's help so they could work on that. So they've been like working and slaving on that for like a good full week at least. And then headed off to Con the Cob. So Rob was kind of low energy. He had gotten over some bronchitis, so his voice was kind of trash. So he basically had to pick his set list based on what he felt he could perform.
He physically could handle. Yeah, like,
you know, so he basically did a lot of stuff like, you know, Needlessly Noir, the stuff that basically, you know, where having it be low key or the lower register of his voice, you know, plays into the, you know, you know, the song and everything. So he did a set like that, and it was a good set. I mean, you know, he also did some Bald Box stuff with you know, Shoebox, and, you know, that's always fun. So, you know, Rob did a good set. You know, he spent most of the rest of the weekend working on the book off in his room, but he came out, you know, enough to say hi and to hang out and to see the shows and be social. So, yeah. Up next after Rob Balder was Positive Attitude, made up of EMC and C-, who are from that area of the country, the Cleveland-Akron yes. area. And they did an awesome show. They seem to be getting better every time I see them. Like, their sets are more tight. They have a clear idea of what they're trying to do with it. And
They rehearsed more. They didn't drop too many lyrics.
Yep.
And I'm looking... we can't call them Positive Attitude anymore.
Oh, I keep
They've
forgetting.
Officially changed their name to Positude.
Positude.
Which is good, because if you enter Positive Attitude into Google, they are not exactly the first or 10th or 20th thing that comes up.
So yes, Positude, P-O-S-I-T-U-D-E. Positude. So yeah, they were super awesome. And they have a new album coming out that's going to be like a free download album sometime in the near future, so... I'm sure we'll be plugging that here and on the Thump podcast.
Yep.
So.
And then was the one-man band Worm Quartet.
Yes.
Which is Shoebox.
Shoebox
is his name.
Also the person who was actually running the comedy music track at
yes.
the con this year. And probably will be for every year. I don't know why I'm so damn tired. Ugh. So.
Drink some caffeine.
I should. But as usual, Shoebox did a great show. He's such a fan favorite. He can do songs, you know, from 5 or 6 years ago that we all know by heart, and it's totally cool with us. It's just
because sitting there singing along and like bopping our heads and just going crazy.
I mean, he really is. You know,
he's still one of my favorite artists in the world of dementia. But it was also, you know, weird to watch him perform for the first time since he lost a bunch of weight and looks like Weird Al.
I don't think he looks like Weird Al.
Okay, well, me and a bunch of other people think he does. So,
he looks like Weird Al in the way that I look like Matt Damon.
I think Shoebox has lost more weight than you're giving him credit for. He's basically got Josh's physique now. Where he's got, you know, a little bit of a belly and a little bit of a man boob, and that's about it.
Yeah, but Weird Al is ridiculously skinny.
Well, yeah, but Shoebox isn't necessarily done losing weight. Anyways, it was after that concert, if you're ready to move on from that
yes.
concert, that I was intending to go to bed because I was fucking wiped. And I really didn't have that much interest in going to the Rocky Horror Picture Show in the same room, not with a cast, you know, just...
Our good friend Blasted Bill Putt of Dementia Radio has a big, you know,
hard-on
for,
I knew you were
for the Rocky
say
Horror Picture Show.
Yes, and so does Moonbeam, and except she doesn't have a penis. And
recently, if you follow the Onion comedy newspaper, they did one of their many awesome fake articles where it was something like, you know, I forgot how they worded it, but it's something along the lines of middle-aged Rocky Horror fans, you know, wondering if it's all worth it anymore.
Yeah.
And it was a really funny article, but it was really accurate
as the Onion often is. It was more true than, like, a real news story.
Yeah. Because basically it's like, I'm not saying, like, oh, Rocky sucks. It's more like, I'm just, I've been there and I've done that, and I don't really feel much of a need to continue to go back to see it even once a year. It's like, all right, maybe once in a great while if I happen to be there and I feel like it. You know, I just don't feel like dragging myself out and hearing the same shit over
right,
and over
right.
again.
So anyways, neither Luke or I were planning to go to Rocky. Until we found out that our friend Durwood Bowen would be losing his Rocky virginity.
Yes.
Now, Durwood...
We have to give you a little bit of context on Durwood.
He's 22 years old. We've known him since he was 16 or 17. He's a sideshow dementia artist.
Well, when we first saw him, he was very, very, very green. He was very much an amateur first starting out.
Yes.
And you know, he has gotten better as years have gone on, but he still is,
He's still got a ways to go.
He's I would still place him in the category of amateur, even though he has improved a bunch.
Yeah.
And you know, as someone who's in that situation, like a freshman or whatever, he gets picked on by, you know, us.
But, I mean, it's not just that. Everybody knows that Derwood Bowen, everybody in our group knows that Derwood Bowen is Christian.
Yeah.
And not only is he Christian, but he's, you know, he's... he prides himself on being innocent, even though he's a 22-year-old man. He kind of acts like somebody who's younger than 22, and innocent, sheltered, virginal Christian.
So we couldn't wait to see
him have his ears raped with Rocky.
Well, Moore. you're getting ahead of it. The moment that's really important here is what I'm about to speak of. Bill comes up and says, because I thought something else was happening in that room afterwards, but it turned out that was canceled. So Shoebox is ending his show, and Bill Putt gets up. All right, everyone, there's going to be Rocky Horror in here starting at 11:30, and blah, 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 blah. And he's like, you know, talking. Derwood's sitting next to me. He just turns to me and just so casual with that pure innocence that only Derwood has the experience to come out with. Just turns to me and he says, "You know, I haven't even seen that movie yet." At which point, I stood up, I reached out my finger, I cocked my head back, and with my eyes as wide as possible, said, "Virgin!" And at that point, everyone else in the room turned, saw me,
I wasn't there.
Heard the word virgin, saw me pointing at Derwood, and like zombies, they all slowly started circling him like, "Virgin! Virgin!" Fucking awesome.
I wasn't... Are we still recording? This is priceless. But, I wasn't in that room at that time.
So, like, that was the moment I said, okay, I'm sticking around.
But what you don't realize is that he wasn't convinced to stay. I was the one who came in and convinced him to stay because I said, you know what? I'm not going to this unless you're going to this, Derwood. So if you don't go to this, I'm going to tell everyone that you're the reason why Carrie's not there. and he's like, okay, maybe I'll watch it for a little while. And I'm like, no, you have to commit. If you're going to this, you're going to the whole thing. You can't just go to part of it. And so basically, you know, Luke started it. And I walked in and ended it. But me and Luke didn't know. I didn't know what Luke had said. I didn't know why Luke was at Rocky. And he didn't know what I had said or why I was at Rocky. Because we both thought neither of us were going to Rocky.
And that's like the Force. You know, like we have the bad rapport on the surface. But underneath, we're like secretly using our Matrix Ninja mental skills with each other to manipulate situations, man. Awesome, man.
I mean, I was wiped. I really had no business continuing to be awake. But I was like, I have to see this. I have to see the look on his face and his reaction and him getting virginized.
So another friend of ours... oh, God, I didn't even tell anybody this. One of the groups that performed this weekend is called Soggy Potato Chips, which is fronted by a person whose nickname is Alcav, A-L-C-H-A-V, Alcav. And I heard, like, his brother or whatever say to him at one point, you know, Alex, are we going to do blah, blah, blah? And then Alcav looked at him and said, like, you called me by my real name. You know, like, in front of me, like this was some kind of, you know, witness protection program and he was just ousted or something.
Like we didn't know what his real name was since we all have him friended on Facebook.
So Alcav was another virgin, and there was some other guy in the audience named Zeke that we didn't know who was also a virgin.
Yeah, there was almost the entire room was dementia artists and dementia fans and, like, four other people at the most.
Yeah, so then Bill and Moonbeam starting with all their usual Rocky Horror host, you know, de-virginization shtick. And, you know, since there was no cast, there were no scantily clad women, they just kind of... went with whatever they could figure out.
Hey, I brought the cleavage out. I went and changed.
Oh, okay.
That's about all you got, though, is a little carry cleavage.
So.
Well, not that little.
So. So basically, they had Blasted Bill lay on the stage, and he's kind of a big guy. And they put, like, some cookies.
He's not kind of a big guy. He's gigantic.
Okay. So they put, like, some cookies on his chest, and they made the three of them, like, you know, say an oath and then bend over and eat the cookies.
Well, first Al Cav wouldn't do it. Like, he flatly refused, and we're all looking at each other like, what? And we all forgot that Al Cav can't have things with gluten in them. So we had to get the payday candy bar for Al Cav.
So, yeah. So they did it, and they, you know, it was very tame compared to most de-virginization ceremonies at Rocky Horror. So we start watching the movie, and Carrie from the Chicago sect of things is shouting out the Chicago lines. Moonbeam and Bill are shouting out the Detroit lines, but they're doing something that, you know, I didn't think was...
They want, instead of calling Brad and Janet asshole and slut, they wanted to call them fork and salt, which I think they were the only ones actually doing it. They were outvoted on that.
It's kind of like, yeah, whatever, guys, we're going to do, you know...
Because they're bored with asshole slut, which I can see, but
which is interesting. They're bored with asshole and slut, but not with every other line that's been uttered at Rocky Horror over the past 30 years. Asshole and slut are boring, but you know everything else in the entire 90-minute film is perfectly fresh to me.
Anyways,
we're picking on you, Bill and Moonbeam.
So you know the movie started, and we didn't have any of the usual props except. Bill managed to round up some glow sticks, and so this became a whole separate deal with me, because I had, right before the movie even started, I had broken my glow sticks so that it would be nice and glowy, and then sometime during, like, There's a Light, I had this, like, horrible metallic taste, like, coating my entire mouth, and part of my lip was going numb. And I stopped doing callbacks, and I'm, like, bugging Ken and Jared, and I'm, like, you know, and Ken stood out with me in a hallway for a minute while I'm trying to explain, and they're, like, do you need to go to the hospital? I'm, like, no, I'm not going to the hospital just for a bad taste in my mouth, but this is really freaky and weird. And it wasn't until an hour later when I looked at my glow stick and realized only half of it was glowing and that it had a big crack in it, and that I had my hands in my mouth because I had eaten a Glucerna bar earlier, so I gave myself glow stick poisoning. So that was a first for me. But anyways, Rocky happened. We shouted all the, you know, nasty, disgusting lines that we always shout, and it was good fun. And it was like both Luke and I said, we actually had fun at Rocky for the first time in a long time. I think part of it was that we're just surrounded by friends, and we could actually be heard when we set our callbacks, right?
Yeah. Well, the thing I was doing is, since I got bored with all the regular callbacks with Rocky, you know, about year two into it, I was more on the Mystery Science Theater 3000 side of things, trying to think of new things to say, you know, that are more like, you know, jokes than, you know, in a riffing sense. So, should I get to the first one? Okay.
Yeah.
So there's the scene where Brad and Janet get to the door of the castle, and Riff answers it, and, you know, Riff just kind of slowly opens the door, and his head kind of, you know, peeks out, and there's, like, that slow camera push focusing in on him, and then he goes, hello. So this just came to me. It makes no sense. There's no real direct tie in anywhere to why this would be funny, but, like, we have the slow pan in, and then during that silence, all of a sudden I said, hello, I'm Dan from Flat 29.
And then the whole room busts out laughing.
Because the whole room is full of the people we are slowly converting to the cult of Flat 29.
Yes.
So the only connection is that, you know,
they're both British.
Yeah, Richard O'Brien, you know, / Riff Raff is, well,
there's really no other connection.
Yeah, other than British on British, that's the only way that makes sense at all. It's just what came to my head, where it was like, I'm going to
British
say this
on
thing.
British.
Kiki would like that.
We'll get to that later.
Yes. So yeah, and the other thing I did was at the very, very end, the very last thing you see in Rocky before the credits start rolling is the criminologist leaving the room with the globe of the Earth, which is, like, you know, a light. So it's the only thing left as he closes the door. So right as he closes the door, Similarly, making no sense at all, I said, "Aw, shucks!" And again, the same people laughed. So it's like, fine, that's it. I've made my Flat 29 references. Thank you, good night.
You know, out of the, you know, hundreds of thousands, probably millions of people that have seen Rocky in the theater and made their own callbacks line, callback lines, you're probably the first one to do Flat 29 lines.
Yes. That'd be my guess. So, anyway, let's get a hustling on here. Saturday, there was a nifty podcasting panel.
And we were on it, and Norm Sherman was on it.
Yes, Norm Sherman.
Evil Spice was on it, and Bill Putt was on it.
Norm Sherman of Drabblecast. We should mention the name of his podcast.
Yeah, and he was also the Dementia Guest of Honor.
Yep.
And he's kind of hot.
And he's very funny.
Yeah, and... Oh, okay, he's really hot. He's not just kind of hot.
And was his website Drabblecast.net? I'm sure just Google Drabblecast and you'll find it, I'm sure.
Yeah, but, and he had another podcast too. He has two podcasts.
Oh yeah, he has this podcast where he and his friends make up fake fictional animals and then debate over whether or not which ones would win in a fight.
Yeah.
So I forgot the name of that thing, but God, I should have researched that. Oh well.
But there was hardly in the audience, and the ones that were there were our friends and one other guy, but who turned out to be a dementia fan, anyways. But it was just kind of interesting that this stupid crap that we put out, like, is enough for us to be on a podcasting panel. We're podcasters now, damn it.
Because, like, I wanted to, you know, I wanted to make it clear that it's like Norm Sherman, you know, is doing, you know, high quality, you know, work is what he's doing. We're just...
We're just babbling.
This is just kind of, you know, audio masturbation for the sake of audio masturbation.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And so Devo Spice talked about Manic Mondays, and he didn't even hardly talk about The Insider, which is like
that's because you video know podcast. You have to be an insider to watch The Insider. So
and
shh, it's the Devo Spice Insider.
And and of course they talked about the Funny Music podcast, and Bill talked about his podcast of the Pod of Destiny with Moonbeam. And some of his prior podcasts that he has done, and
I found out that they did find the recordings from the wedding eve stuff. So there will be a Pod of Destiny with that stuff in it. It was done with a new recorder, and apparently it's worse than the other one. So
Pegasus will be brought back out
probably anyway.
So the Dementia Radio 10th anniversary panel, I wasn't in, but you were, and Bill was, and Ken was.
Well, it's
and
like when
Chris
we start
Azalesta was
when we started doing it. Like the only Dementia Radio DJs in the room were like me, Chris, Bill, and then Ken. So I'm like, Ken, come up on stage. But then by the time it ended, it was like, oh, Jared's
the room
in the audience,
full of DJs.
Carrie's in the audience. Like it's like, well, now I feel stupid for pulling Ken up here because you know all those other people should have been up here too. But you know. We basically talked about...
I'm sure Ken appreciated it.
Yes. It's been 10 years since Blasted Bill Putt started the streaming station Dementia Radio, and he had been wanting to throw a room party and do a panel and kind of discuss, you know, the history of it, and it was pretty cool, pretty interesting, a lot of things that I forgot about, bringing up old memories of... You know, fun days where, you know, me and him and other friends would get together and record IDs, that, you know, till the middle of the night and just got silly, you know. I loved he showed the email. I totally forgot about that. When he first emailed to announce my show's beginning, you know, Luke Skies will be starting a new show, Revolutions of Dementia.
Nice.
So, yeah. So that was cool. I can't think of anything else to say about it.
And then the group moved into the dealer's room for a two-hour, quote-unquote, main stage concert, which I missed a lot of. But then, like, everybody, all the dementia artists there got up and, well, all the artists there got up and did two songs each, or in some cases three. And,
Well, the thing was, we were all supposed to keep it to 6 minutes, so
right.
That's why I did the two songs I chose, because they were both, you know, just under 3 minutes or something. So
mine was even shorter than 6 minutes. So that was my debut performance of Twitter Tweetin', where I managed to forget the second line immediately, which sucked because Musically, for me, that performance of Twitter Tweetin' and Sleepwalkin' Zombies was, like, musically, it was, like, the only good moment of the whole weekend as far as me being a performer. That was basically the only musical moment that I have as a good memory, so, of that con. So, I wish I would have remembered all the lyrics to Twitter Tweetin', but, you know, it was just kind of nice with all the other random dealers room people around. Then there's actually people who haven't heard Sleepwalking Zombies that are getting to hear it for the first time.
Yeah, that main stage show, you know, overall it was good and a good thing to do. It just needed a little bit more organization to it.
Yeah.
I mean, it reminded me of, you know, when, you know, the Dementia Smackdown thing at MarsCon, the way it used to be done, it was just kind of like all haphazard. Okay, you're doing what now? Oh, give that guy your CD. Okay, well, wait, you got to bring an instrument on stage. That'll take 5 minutes.
There needed to be some sort of, you know, bathroom break in there somewhere, and there wasn't, and I ended up missing. I left halfway through Nuclear Bubble Wrap to go do things in my hotel room, and then I skipped Durwood on purpose because I was trying to get over to the beginning of Soggy Potato Chips because those things were overlapping, but then Soggy Potato Chips started late anyways.
Durwood originally wasn't going to be on that thing, and then he got added at the last minute, and then Rob went last and he performed Mandelbrot's set because Mandelbrot passed away over the weekend.
Oh, so Rob went last.
Yeah. And he only did one song.
Yeah, so I was missing Rob while I was trying to... Didn't mean to be choosing sides there, but I was in the Soggy Potato Chips room, and there was very few people in the audience
They waited until that thing to be over anyway before they start, didn't they?
I don't know.
I think they did. So, anyway, the action then moved... Oh, I should say, I performed Fandom Dazzle, which Kiki had never heard before. She laughed a lot at that. I mean, other people did too, but hers was very distinctive because she was very near the front. And then I did my old bit, Star Wars Trilogy Homesick Blues, complete with the original cards and stuff, which I haven't pulled out in quite a while. So that was kind of a special deal for those who were there. That was the only bit of prop and costume type stuff that I brought with me because it could fit in my suitcase.
For the two of you that don't know, Luke's show was once upon a time very prop heavy. He was
prop and costume oriented.
Yes, yes. He was like the, you know, Carrot Top of dementia.
Yeah, I'd rather be considered the Gallagher of dementia.
I knew you were gonna argue against the Carrot Top of dementia, but I had to throw it out there.
Well, you know, I have a soft spot in my heart for Gallagher. Anyway,
there's also Joel Hodgson.
Yes,
Agent J.
I wish all those Agent J things were like on one easily bought DVD or something like that.
Yeah,
because he did some awesome stuff way back in the day.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on with our wrap up. Soggy Potato Chips went on full band version, just like they did at PenguinCon, and they did a. From what I was able to perceive, they did a great set.
I turned to Luke after. They did Catter Day, or Every Day is Catter Day, and then they followed that with their song, something about Yay, I've Got a Cardboard Box. And I turned to Luke and said, they don't realize it, but this is also a cat song.
Yes, they should take that song and, like, edit it with footage from YouTube of cats playing with cardboard boxes.
Yes.
They could get a billion hits. But the reason why I said, you know, what I could perceive is because I was back there with Carrie and we were figuring out the set list for her show. So basically we had to figure out what she had on her iPod, what I had on my Zen player to put together.
He was helping me cobble together a last minute actual set and, so if it wasn't for Luke, I would have been even less organized than I already was during my show.
Well, you know, it reminds me of back in the day when Rob Balder was first starting performing. Well, he still does kind of perform this way now that I think about it, where he would have a CD full of all his background tracks, and then he would never create a set list ahead of time. He would just get up on stage and just start doing songs, and then he'd, you know, kind of decide as he went along what he wanted to play and skip around to different points of the CD. So, I mean, it is a way to go. But, you know, you normally figure out ahead of time what you're going to do.
Should I go on by talking about my concert?
I think you should.
I don't really like talking about it, but basically, I opened it by relating a conversation that I just overheard just before I got in the room. I had ran out to go to the bathroom, and I was right up next to some guy who was saying to some girl, "Well, I don't know what Carrie Dalby's music is like, but worst case scenario, there's this other game we could go to," or something like that. And so I related the story to the audience, and I said, "So hopefully this isn't the worst case scenario." And then I think it was the worst case scenario, but I ended up doing six songs. I cut "The World Is Made of Assholes" because there's just a bunch of kids in the room, and I didn't want to offend them or their parents. And I had another go at Twitter tweeting. I did "Reckon" by the Book, which was cool. A19 with Chris, which he didn't know until we were doing it that we were doing it, and three other songs. And this was cobbled together. Me and Luke did Middle East Country, and this was cobbled together between my iPod and Luke's Zen player. And I think the only people in the audience who didn't know any of my music were and who were actually paying attention, I think the only person was Shy Show's mom. And she seemed, most of the time, she was just kind of giving me like WTF looks. I think during one song she seemed to react positively, and I think that was the Cake Wreck song, maybe, I don't know. And then other time I'm looking at her because she's the only one who doesn't know these songs, and she's just giving me these WTF facial expressions. So I didn't think it went that well. I didn't get laughs and stuff, and it, but, you know, I mean, that's con on the cop because, you know, yeah, everybody there knows everything that performed.
To counterpoint what you were saying, I think your show went fine. The only thing it was missing was, you know, planning ahead of time. If you had figured out what you specifically wanted to perform, you know, and made sure all those specific tracks you needed were on your iPod, you know, I think it would have been a smoother set, you know. I'm not trying to, like, bash you or embarrass you or me or whatever. I mean, because you're just saying, like, oh, it was just a total train wreck of a show. And it's like, no, the show was all right. It was just disorganized.
It was like everyone was asleep. I mean, they might as well have been.
And that's, we've been, like you had just alluded to, the comedy music track at Con on the Cob isn't as old and established as the one at MarsCon, and it suffers from, I guess suffers isn't the right word, but basically at MarsCon we have the main stage, and it lends itself much more towards the casual con-goer coming in and hanging out and watching shows for a while.
Yes, that, you know? And MarsCon just has more fans. Con on the Cobs, you know, all the three times that I've been there, and you've been there four times? No, you've been like five times or something. I don't know. Did you go last year?
I can't specifically. I missed last year.
So you've been like four times.
Yeah.
It seems like the majority of our audiences are made up of other artists. And there's only a handful of fans that show up.
And you take any comedian in the world, if you're just performing to a group of people that already knows all your material, then you're not going to get laughs too much, you know? So it's just a...
Anyways, I don't want to dwell on it too much. Let's break this up since we've been rambling for a while. Let's get the next song break in here because this is the next thing that we heard. We had never heard of, well, up until the main stage show a couple hours ago, we had never heard of this comedy music duo called Shy Show, which is a 13-year-old girl and her 8-year-old sister. And they showed this video, this is a cover song, but they showed a YouTube video of them doing the following song, and then the rest of their set was live. So here is Shy Show.
If you think you're a big man, America will punch you if you're just a little girl. America will punch you if you like rocks on the beach. America will punch you. America will freaking punch you. If you think you're a big man, America will punch you if you're just a little girl. America will punch you if you like rocks on the beach. America will punch you. America will freaking punch you. So punch America, punch. Punch America, punch. Paul Revere will punch you. Jesse James will punch you. America will freaking punch you.
If you look her in the eye, America will punch you. If you forget to wear a tie, America will punch you. When you're on your way to school, America will punch you.
America will freaking punch you. So punch America, punch. Punch America, punch. Punch you.
Dr. Spock, Carole King, Jerry Lewis, Martin Sheen, Jimmy Stewart, Tiger Woods, Mr. T, Mary Wirth, John Wayne, Isaac Hayes, Willie Fillmore, Willie Mays, they're all gonna freaking punch you.
So punch America, punch. Punch America, punch. Ford will punch you. Richard Q will punch you. I hope you're ready to get punched.
So that was SciShow with America Will Punch You.
Yes.
Their website is myspace.com/SciShow, S-H-I-S-H-O. And I made sure to specifically kind of, you know, point out to them, both on stage and off, that there's the Fump Sideshow page where they could go and have their songs posted if they want to.
Yes.
You know, get their music known to this particular online community of funny music fans.
I think SciShow was the biggest surprise of the con.
Yeah.
Especially because they were booked at the last second. And I found out the reason that they got in contact with the con is because they were Googling something about Devo and Akron, because they wanted to see if Devo, like the Devo, was performing in their area, and instead they found Devo Spice.
Yeah.
and so that led them to read about Con on the Cob, and then they contacted someone about performing. And so, you know, they were pretty interesting, and we hope to hear more from them and hear more of their recordings.
Well, plus, they are girls. And as we've stated so many times, there's not nearly enough women making funny music, so...
But they're actually girls.
Yes.
They're not women.
Well, yeah, but they will grow up to be women. The point is that, you know, it's cool to see some enthusiastic women making funny music, even if they're young women.
Yes.
So we want them to continue, so we want to support them. So.
Yes.
And they actually are on a label out of England called, like, Filthy Little Angels or something like that.
Yeah,
so.
And the older one, Vivian, I think, is the older one's name,
mm-hmm.
and Midge is the younger one's name. And the older one played guitar, and the younger one kind of operated, like, a little, not
like, beat machines and stuff like that.
Yeah. And they both sang and...
what was the name of the one, the restaurant one? Combination.
Pizza Hut and KFC.
Wait, was it KFC or Taco Bell?
I can't... it was KFC.
You know, they just kind of kept repeating that phrase over and over again. It was funny. So,
or no, maybe it was Taco Bell. I think that was a cover song also.
Hmm.
Yeah, something like that. And so they had, like, these beards and costumes on during that because they were trying to look like... It was a nerdcore cover song or something.
Oh, okay. And the other thing that was kind of funny... Well, not funny, like, oh, we're making fun of it, just like, you know... their parents were there being very supportive, and the dad had, like, more video cameras set up than I've ever seen any act at a con. It was it's like he was filming their demo reel, you know, at Con and the Cob.
Yeah.
And so it's like we had like two or three cameras, you know, going in set positions, and then he was kind of walking back and forth with the handheld, getting you know great like you know motion capture shots or whatever. So. You know, so it'd be cool to see, you know, what they're going to come up with, if they're going to post any of that on YouTube or whatever.
I think the coolest part one was Vivian said to the audience, "I want to be a part of this crowd." And I'm like thinking, oh, you've come to the right place. If you want a, you know, warm, welcoming reception, just come on over to the dementia community. Because I don't know where else you're going to get a warmer one.
Yeah. I like us.
Yes, I like us.
We're awesome. Let's talk about how much we rule.
And we reach out to artists too, and we're like, come be part of us.
One of us.
Even if you live across the sea, or the gigantic ocean. And I'm extending my arms like a zombie as I say this. So after that, the group went to dinner. And
Carrie and I took young Steve Christ with us, where...
Oh, that was hilarious. Oh, God.
Steve Christ is the son of Tim Christ, a.k.a. Shoebox of Horn Quartet and his lovely wife, Kim. And, you know, he's a little rambunctious dude, and...
He's five, he's almost six.
Yes, and I thought, you know, it'd be nice if I could take him out to dinner, thereby giving the parents a break from Steve.
Yes.
So, you know, I took him and had to, you know...
So it was basically like me and Luke, particularly Luke, were like Steve's, you know, babysitter guardians for the night. But one of the funny parts was when we went to go get his food, and... Luke is just listening to whatever Steve wanted. He's trying to go get it. And as he's going to scoop the third meat product onto the plate, I started nagging and chiding that he needed to have vegetables and carb products on there, too. That was the second funniest moment. Oh, and as he was sitting down with us, he kept Moonbeam's baby Ferris was in the... in the little carrier thingy, the little swingy thingy, and Steve kept saying with earnestness, "Okay, I can watch the baby now." Okay, you know, he said that a couple different times, and
his heart's in the right place.
And then, although Luke didn't hear this, apparently Moonbeam heard Steve suddenly say, "I just forgot I'm allergic to soda," and then he like dashed off to the men's room where Luke had to chase him, and all you really had to do was pee, right?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he was faking that, trying to be funny.
It was hilarious.
But then, what did that one woman say when I was trying to give him the peas?
You were trying to ask him if it was okay to give him some peas, and she said, "You don't ask. You don't ask. You just give it to him."
And then I don't know if you know about this one.
It was a buffet style, obviously.
Yeah.
In case we didn't state that, which I don't think we did.
So the second time I went up and he said he wanted chicken. So I found a little fried chicken area, and they had just put a big old new tray of fried chicken out. And, you know, Steve spied the drumsticks. I'm like, okay, good. Yeah. So I used the tong and I put one drumstick on his plate, and I'm like, is that enough or do you want more than one? And Steve said, "I want five."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "No, five's too much. How about two?" And then like there was a man standing there, and then he started laughing, and he's like, "Yeah, everything's a negotiation with kids." And I'm like,
and then he only ate one.
Yeah.
But
I got to eat
the other one. But I also made fun of you because when you came back with your plate full of food, you didn't have a single vegetable in sight. It was all like, you know, greasy, you know, fatty, carby, like, or meaty stuff. And not a single vegetable. Not one.
So then when you went back to get food, you got coleslaw and then dumped it onto my plate.
And I said, "Here's the coleslaw you asked for." And Moonbeam was like, "Oh, yes, thank you for responding to his text about how much you wanted the coleslaw." And
I ate it.
This reminds me of another quick story you should tell from that morning when you went to breakfast with the Christs. And you sat down in your plate.
Oh, yes. There was
I wasn't there.
There was, you know, one of those kind of morning breakfast things at this hotel. And
Breakfast buffet.
Yeah, breakfast buffet. And, it wasn't the best ever, but it was certainly better than other places. So I grabbed, you know, some sausages, some eggs, and one of the little kind of, you know, prepackaged, you know, little bowls of Fruit Loops or whatever,
and some milk.
And I went to get a glass of milk, and I had grabbed, instead of pouring myself into a glass, regular milk, it ended up being chocolate milk, and I purely did that accidentally, and I'm like, what the, oh, alright, well, I guess I'll drink chocolate milk then. I go to sit down at the table with Tim and Kim and Steve. I sit down, Kim looks over at what I'm eating and said, "You got literally the exact same food that Steve got." And I look across, and there's Steve. He's got sausages and eggs and Fruit Loops and chocolate milk. It's like, good God.
He didn't tell me what the food items were. That makes it even funnier. So it was just, the whole experience was just kind of, like, hilarious, just because neither Luke or I have children or are super experienced with children, so it was just kind of funny watching the two non-parents trying to take care of the rambunctious, almost six-year-old Steve. But then we all ended up missing 19 Action News because of the, you know, yeah. So we didn't get back in time.
We didn't get back in time for them, and I genuinely felt really bad about that. I did my best to plug them later on in the night, so that everyone could be reminded about them.
Yeah,
so,
I bought their CD out of guilt later on.
Yeah, they, because they performed at PenguinCon. They did a great.
This was before the guy hit on me.
Yeah, because we saw them at PenguinCon. They did a great set, and, you know, we are all trying to encourage them and support them to be a part of this community. And then, you know, not everybody, but a certainly decent large chunk of what would have been their audience, you know, were all out to eat.
Still at dinner.
We're all out to eat together, and we didn't get done quick enough, and.
Yeah.
So, you know, I felt really bad about that. So I made sure to talk to the guys from the band to let them know that's what happened, and that's why, you know, a big bunch of us were gone. And then
Now, once we got back from dinner, I did what I should have done the previous night, and I went and crashed. And if it wasn't for needing to be in your concert, I probably wouldn't have even been back for that. But I handily missed the entire Norm Sherman concert and Nuclear Bubble Wrap. So if you want to say anything about them.
Well, I should mention the 19 Action News, their website is 19actionnews.net.
It's the number.
Yeah, the number is 1 and 9, and then actionnews.net. If you go to .com, that's a real news TV
Actual
station
news.
Called 19 Action News. So don't go to that one. Go to 19actionnews.net for their music. So I saw Wither Wings perform, and she's a one-woman act who sings along with background tracks. She has songs about Harry Potter and also songs about, like, vampires and stuff like that. And she was pretty nifty. I mean, not so much of the...
Not so much comedy.
Yeah, like the ha-ha funny type of stuff. But, you know, kind of the wizard rock, you know. It's like, you know, I'd
Which is one of, like, Shy Show's main inspirations was Harry and the Potters.
Yeah. So, it was... She's really good. I met her before the show. She's really nice. Once again, you know, women making, you know, geeky, nifty music, we like this.
Yes.
And want to support it.
Yes.
So just Google Wither Wings music or something. I'm sure you can find her website. And then Guest of Honor Norm Sherman went up with Drabblecast, did a bunch of really great songs.
All of which I missed.
Yes, and I meant to, he was interested in doing a CD trade with me, and I wanted to, and then we never had a chance to do it. So, I know some of my other friends got his album. I want to try to contact him so we can make that happen, because I'd love to play songs by him on this podcast and help promote him.
Nuclear Bubble Wrap, who most likely traveled the longest to be there, 12-hour drive.
Yep, they set up their usual band setup. They brought in their many inflated balloons and their bubble machines, and you know they are an actual band with, you know, drums and keyboards and lead guitars and bass guitars and all that stuff. And, you know, they did their half-hour set in which they, you know, had bubbles blowing and balloons flying all over the place. And at one point, because they have a song about Pokemon, we're throwing dozens of Pokemon cards into the audience.
Yeah.
And they did a great set. I mean, they've, you know, really in the past few years, you know, improved a great deal, and they currently have the most requested song of the year on the Dr. Domino show. I didn't even realize that until this weekend. So,
which song?
Write You a Song, the Pokemon song.
Oh, yeah, that's a good song.
So, yeah, so so they're really kicking butt, and they're also great, fun guys to hang out with at a con. I mean, I talked with Brendan a while, and of course, Jace. Eric's kind of the quiet one. Eric just kind of
Eric seems cool, though. He gave me a respectful nod, and Brendan seems cool, too. And
yeah.
Jace, I don't think he's ever talked to me, but Jace is cool, too.
But, yeah, so it's, you know... They did a great set. I went on after them with Devo Spice following me, and he was kind enough to let me use his rig again like we did at Nerdapalooza. I was able to add a couple of new ones to the set list, so I did 7 songs in pretty quick succession so that I could stay within my 30 minutes.
And one of those was Anime Fan, where I didn't actually notice, but they cut for some reason the beginning of the song was cut off.
Yeah, it's like Devo played. I asked him to play a little bit of it so I could make sure that the video was working properly.
Yeah.
And he did, and then he's like, "Okay, I'll go and reset these all back to the beginning of the of the video."
Yeah.
And for some reason that one didn't take. So when it went to start Anime Fan, it's fortunately the point at which it started made it seem like it was intentional, we meant for it to start there.
Yeah, and it wasn't a bad starting point, and it just wasn't the beginning.
So it's the thing started and I looked at the video, I'm like, "Oh, he forgot to reset the thing," and I was about to go on the mic and say, "Oh, we should restart," when all of a sudden Carrie's like, "Oh, Yu-Gi-Oh!" It's like, "Oh, okay, I guess we're just going from here then. All right, let's go."
I didn't even notice that the beginning was gone. I honestly didn't.
That's because you were...
My mic wasn't on very loud, so...
That's good rapport.
It wasn't until the middle of the song where Shoebox realized my mic wasn't up loud enough, and... So for the first half of the song, I'm just I'm singing, but I know that nobody can hear me. Of course, all my vocals are on the instrumental anyways, but...
Well, not all of them.
Well, a lot of them are.
Yeah.
There's a lot of vocals there.
So, that I thought my show went well. I very much like this new notion of the video accompaniment as opposed to the props and costumes I used to do.
But, I mean, it takes the focus off of you and your energetic performance. So, I don't know.
Well, yeah, but in a way, it helps me concentrate on my actual performance more if I'm not thinking, in 20 seconds, I need to set the mic down, run over here, throw a wacky hat on, and then come back and hold up a sign that says Fargonargle. You know, it's I can just concentrate on doing the hardcore hip-hop comediness.
I'm not saying you should go back to the props, but I'm also not the biggest fan of everybody having a video accompaniment like Devo Spice has.
Yeah. And the weird irony is that moving on to the next performer is that Devo Spice has been trying to
pare down on his videos.
Like move away from the videos and move towards more live stuff involving, backup dancers who have costumes and other props and other wacky shtick. And the person who was supposed to help him with that couldn't make it, so he enlisted our friend Kiki, who, as we mentioned earlier, was helping Rob Balder with stuff. Kiki ended up being Devo Spice's...
On stage
accompaniment person.
Yes. And
Dancing Goyles.
And he did a lot of funny songs, but then he did his newest song, which is I Hate Mondays. And I started getting upset actually because the song is a little too real. I'm glad you think this is funny, but I actually went out and started crying in the hallway, and then when I played it for myself again yesterday, which was an actual Monday, I started crying again. So apparently it's just too real to be funny.
So when Devo said one of the reasons he did this song is he wanted to have a new theme song for his podcast Manic Mondays, which would come out every Monday. So I could just picture you on the bus, listening to it or at work every Monday,
weeping every Monday morning. we were possibly going to play that song during this show, but we have a lot of other cool stuff to play, so we should probably be playing it next show, episode number 27.
Or maybe we won't.
Or maybe we will. So that people know what I'm freaking talking about, who don't already... Well, you can't go to the thump.
Episode 27 again. Will be titled, "Carrie Sobs Incessantly, While Luke Giggles."
No, that'll be this episode.
Okay, fine. So... So Devo did a great set. Oh, I should point out that somebody from A person who is big in the Filk community in the Ohio area and has in fact run Filk for a convention called MarCon in Columbus every year. This guy named Trace, he was at the con that weekend, and I said hi to him. I hadn't seen him in a while because I missed MarCon last year, and I'm going to miss it again this year because I'm going to be at a different convention where I'm the guest of honor. But he came out and he saw my set and Devo Spice's set. I can't remember if he was there for Nuclear Bubble Wrap or not, but it was cool to have him there. To kind of see me really in my element. Because when I perform at conventions where it's very Filk heavy on the music track, I'm the odd thing out. I'm the weird thing that doesn't fit in. But it's like,
yeah.
It was cool for Trace to see me for once be like, hey, here's a show with me and, you know, my crowd, my people. I'm going to rock the mic and bring it. And
so I think he was on your turf for once.
Normally I'm going to put myself down, you know, blah, blah, blah. Things weren't that great. But I kind of think I did a pretty damn good show at Con of the Cob this time around.
You did do a good show. Although, like I said, I think the video distracts from your energetic performance of the songs. And, like, instead of nobody's looking at you, they're all looking at the screen, you know.
Well...
Anyway,
I'll confab with Devo and get some advice from him on the proper way to make sure that, you know, the focus isn't entirely on the video, how it goes back and forth.
Just step in front of the screen,
I guess. Oh, and Insane Ian, if you're listening, yes, you made a video appearance at the con because I did. My parents bought me in television, the Nerdapalooza version. So
yes,
Insane Ian had a video cameo at Con and the Cob, even though he wasn't actually there. So. Then after that, we moved on to parties, right?
Yes, we did. For me, I didn't go to any party but the Dementia Radio Room party.
Me too.
So, that was fun. There was lots of food. There was a, Rice Krispie treat. Hey!
I was trying to burp the word droid for Rob Balder.
Nice try. There was a Rice Krispie Treat standoff between Moonbeam's Rice Krispie Treats and Christie's Rice Krispie Treats. And
Christie pwned.
Yeah.
Sorry, Moonbeam, Christie's treats are better than yours. Although you do make human babies, so you know.
Yeah.
You kind of have one up to her in the baby department.
Your vagina spits out an entire human. As Dan Savage would say. So, and we hung out there later than I thought for sure I was going to be gone by 1 a.m., but it was after 2 a.m. before we actually left. And, yeah. And then the next day, on to the next day?
We got to go a little bit of a backstory. For those of you who don't know me well, I have never been drunk in my life. I'm not a drinker. I've never been interested in it. I've tried to get into it, at least in some slight way, you know, drinking things like Mike's Hard Lemonade and Smirnoff Ice and other things that are considered, you know, gay. but, you know, I don't like the taste of beer. I don't like the taste of hard alcohol. It's just, ew. You know, I can't get beyond, like, you know, I don't want to drink something regularly if it tastes bad to me. So I don't drink. The most I've ever been drunk is
You've never been drunk.
Well, okay, in the scale of drunkenness, the farthest I've ever gotten was I had a tequila sunrise and a bottle of some regular brand American beer at a bar in Kansas City, and then I played Turbo Ms. Pac-Man. I was just kind of like buzz, like fuzzy on the outside of my field of vision, and I played Turbo Ms. Pac-Man, and I got my highest score ever. And, like, end. That's the beginning and end of Luke Ski's drunken escapades over the course of my 36 years. So, Rob Balder, who is a.k.a. Party Rob, who is, like, you know, like the juggernaut of partying, he found out this information, and he said sometime many years ago, actually, was it Con of the Cob, I'm going to get you drunk. We're going to go, you know, like, so basically, he's been wanting to, you know.
He's been wanting to get Luke drunk for years.
Yeah. So he decided at the Metro Radio Room Party, like, it's like, all right, this is it. We're going to try this tonight. And he mixed me some, you know, tea and, you know, apple-related beverage that had alcohol in it. And, you know, I got most of the way through my first one when I informed Carrie, by the way, Rob Balder is giving me alcoholic beverages. And what was your reaction?
I mean, I knew that either from what you said or something, I knew that he was trying to get you drunk. And I said, no. I said, I said no repeatedly, like a mother would say to, you know, a teenager. And finally I said, okay, well, if he's getting drunk, he's rooming somewhere else tonight because I'm not taking care of him. So...
So then, you know, Rob...
Rob called, like, whined at me and called me a killjoy. But I've never wanted to see Luke drunk, and if he was going to be drunk, he shouldn't be my responsibility, so...
Yeah. You know, so, like, I basically had, like you know, two, you know, like, your average red, you know, cup that you have at parties. Like, you know, I had, like, two drinks, and I was feeling it, but, you know, I still hadn't really, you know, gotten that far into it. No. And I don't know, I just didn't feel like I wanted to go all the way that evening, but I appreciated him, you know, kind of giving me a little bit of a start. And
like you said, if it's gonna, if it is gonna happen, which I don't see why it needs to, but if it is gonna, then Sarah should be there.
Well, yeah, I want it to happen because I want to experience it at least once.
Okay.
So, and I want Sarah to be there, and I think Rob was kind of came back later, and he was trying to explain to me in his own, like, metaphor way. He was probably still a little under the influence at the time, but it's kind of like, he was trying to say to me, like, well, it's like Lance Armstrong, you know, teaching someone how to ride a bicycle with training wheels. You know, it's like, I'm the, you know, like, the point being, he's the big... expert on it, and I'm the, you know, total newbie beginner on it, and he shouldn't expect me to go all the way on the first try, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's like I got a little ways into it, and it's like, all right, I've felt what that was like. Now at some future thing, like maybe PenguinCon or something, where it's like I can, you know,
I won't be at PenguinCon, or at least if I go, it would only be Friday night, so, you know, have a blast.
So I don't know. We'll see what happens.
There, like, may I be said, I don't really care. I don't really care to be there.
It just can't be at MarsCon because I'm in charge of stuff there, and I don't want to have that happen there. Anyway, but yeah, the Dementia Radio Room Party for 10th anniversary was a lot of fun. A lot of great food. A lot of great snacks. A lot of people hanging out.
One thing we learned at the podcasting panel is that most people prefer short podcasts.
unless you're me or Blasted Bill,
the short versus long debate had everybody except for me, Bill, and you saying short.
Okay.
So
Sunday I caught most, if not all, of Derwood Bowen's performance.
Yeah, I caught most of it. I was in and out a little bit, but he's improved a lot, and I like his Megadeth parody.
That's an ambitious band to parody.
Yeah, but it was a good, it's actually a good idea, and, you know.
Yeah.
Not sure where he got the instrumental, but, or if he made it, or what. Anyways,
And then at noon was Cirque du So What, which is the four-person sketch comedy supergroup consisting of myself, Debo Spice, Shoebox of Worm Quartet, and Chris Mazalesta of Power Salad.
And that was kind of fun for me because they had me on stage doing all the girls' parts. The only girl part they didn't have me do is where the girl says, okay, which I would have loved to do.
Well, if you would have, like, snuck up on stage, we would have been like, oh, it's Carrie, she must be doing that line.
But I didn't, I don't know the material enough to have memorized that was going to be happening. I kept waiting for you guys to tell me when to come up on stage.
I'm sorry.
I said I would do any Cirque du So What female lines they needed, as long as it didn't have anything to do with lettuce.
So, but yeah, I was the script wrangler for Cirque du So What, so I had ahead of time kind of reformatted all the scripts in a much easier to read ways, and had a copy for each of the four of us on stage to read from, because we just kind of stand at the mics and read from the scripts like it's an old radio play, because we never really, there's not much point in us trying to memorize that material for performance because we don't get to rehearse together anyway. You know, so it's like, I don't know. It's
rehearse on Skype.
Yeah, but how do you do blocking on Skype?
Anyways, a chewy kitty is in the house. Aww. On my lap.
Chewy.
But, and we're an hour and a half into the show and we still haven't done News of the Stupid.
Well, we've done two songs. So anyway, I thought that show went well. We had one new sketch in there. A commercial for a new product.
And that was hilarious.
I don't want to say anything more about it, because to say what the name of the sketch is would kind of ruin the main joke of it.
You're the softest kitty in the face of the planet.
So that, you know, that may or may not be coming soon to the Fump, but, you know, it got a great reaction from the crowd, and Shoebox wrote it. It's very hilarious.
Yes.
You're so cute.
And then we had what they call the Dementia All-Star Request Hour, which is basically a completely disorganized clusterfuck of, you know, artists who may or may not be near the stage, who may or may not have their material with them, and who may or may not be taking requests from the audience. So, you know, it was kind of lopsided because it was people know that, like, Shoebox and me have our Zen players with all of our music queued up, ready to go, and, you know, Christmas Lusta had his laptop with all of his background music ready to go.
I had my iPod ready to go, but I didn't get any requests.
Well, you were sitting in the audience instead of near the stage. Well, I think that might have had at least partially
started,
something to do
with it. I sat down by the stage for a while, but that didn't help.
Well, I don't know. It was one of the parts of the con that, you know, seemed to need more organization, but, you know, I think part of the, I don't know, it's not my track to run, so it's not from my place to say how things should have been done, but, you know.
And the one time I helped you with Battlestar Rhapsody because yes. I was the one who requested it because I wanted to come up and help you, but, and then me and Chris helped you, but then Shoebox wasn't there at the time.
Yeah. And the one thing I wanted to request of yours, or the one thing that immediately came to mind because it's one of my favorite songs of yours, is her song "The World Is Made Of," because
two kids and their dad were utilizing one of the tables to game. They weren't even in the room to watch the concert.
Well, apparently the dad was a fan of mine because when I went to the table to settle up in the dealer room with my merch, he was there at the merch table. You know, wanting to look at our merchandise and buy stuff.
But I specifically asked him if they would be offended by bad words, and he said yes, they would be.
You know, so basically, you know, if it were my track to run, I think I would, you know, delineate, you know, that performance areas are for watching of performances and gaming areas are for gaming, and never the twain shall meet. But, you know, that's just my opinion. I guess I'm just too old school, you know, theater and performance oriented of like, okay, if you're here to see a show, you're here to see a show. Yeah. If you're here to game, go somewhere else. You know, and that may not be the convention way, you know, but that's just my personal opinion.
Is there anything else we have to say about that? Or can we just talk about the ride home?
You know, we kind of said a quick goodbye to everyone. I didn't even really say goodbye to a lot of people because it was just a case of let's get going because we have a long drive ahead of us. So we started heading back, and on the way home, instead of four people in the car, we had five people in the car because Kiki needed to ride back with us. So it was a bit cramped just because I was in the middle of the back seat. But, you know, it wasn't not the end of the world. It was just an uncomfortable ride, but we had a good time.
And should we say what we were working on with the notebook, or should we?
Oh, let's not.
We've mentioned it before, but
Let's not get into detail on that.
So we worked on a thing with a notebook. And then we were also playing the Best of Flat 29 mix CD that Luke made.
Yes.
And
the last track of which is the one we're about to play, and it was when we got to, like, the third and then fourth verses of this song that one of our friends, Jared...
Now, keep in mind, we'd already played on the way there, we had played the Sherlock Holmes musical. On the way back, we played this entire CD. It wasn't until the last verse of the last song on the CD that Jared finally exploded. All right, you win. I love Flat 29. Okay, fine. Meanwhile, Kiki liked them right away. I'm like, well, I was wondering when you were going to get into them because they are British and they are comedy musicians, which is two things that you love. And she's like, you had me at British. So we, between Kiki and Jared, we made two new Flat 29 fans on the way back.
And Ken, who was in the car, who kind of already was one.
Yes.
But, you know, yes. So.
Speaking of Ken.
Oh, shall we?
Yes. Every once in a while, every now and again, ring, hello, let's call Ken. Ding! And I'm going to sing it again because we're still calling. Every once in a while, every now and again, ring, hello, let's call Ken. Ding! Right. Here we go. He knew this was coming, I told him. attention. Let me see if I get a text from you.
Hello.
Hi, Ken.
Hi. Our Con and the Cob report went about an hour and 10 minutes longer than Luke thought it would.
It was a long weekend, I'm not surprised.
Yeah. So, what about Con and the Cob would you like to mention?
Well, I'm not really sure because obviously you guys probably went through a lot.
Oh, yeah. But I just thought, you know, there might be something from your perspective that you wanted to say.
Well, I know Luke mentioned about the ride there and about playing the Frat 29.
Yes.
Most recent podcast. I know that was. I figured they talked about the new stuff that Cirque du Soleil wanted and the first performance of the unusual song you guys created.
Yeah, we didn't really talk about that performance.
Well, I didn't want to go into detail in case me and Devo decide to play it on the Funny Music Podcast, in which case, if we do, we could actually go into greater detail on that podcast and have, like, Carrie and Chris Skype in or something. So
okay, because I was definitely exceeded by the expectations that were placed on it.
Yeah, because we kept saying how crappy it was.
Not every song has to be going to be funny.
So yeah, certain members of the super group want to disavow any knowledge of the, you know, song's existence or something like that. But you know,
yeah,
but overall, everyone's reaction to it has been positive.
Yeah,
it surprises me. We haven't gotten one negative comment yet from anybody.
We haven't had any negative comments doesn't mean nobody dislikes it. But you know.
Oh, you didn't mention that.
Yeah, just real briefly, kind of offshoot from the Dementia Radio room party on Saturday night, Rob Balder wanted to get the guys from Nuclear Bubble Wrap drunk, so
specifically Jace McClain, who had just turned 21 4 days prior to the con.
Yeah.
Or 4 days prior to that moment.
So, yeah, so basically Rob was like, come on, we're going to the bar, so, you know, Rob Balder and Kiki and Nuclear Bubble Wrap went to the bar and consumed many drinks there, and then
for those of you who may not be from around here, 21 is the age at which you can legally start drinking.
Oh, you mean here in the United States of America? Home of mom and apple pie and baseball, the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Fuck you. America will punch you, Luke.
And also, of course, Jason McClain was not the only one who was sick, mostly sick that weekend. The other person in the Dementia Radio party room who spent 45 minutes in the toilet, in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
Before they finally got her out, she was being dragged out by two people. She was okay, but she just had too many shots at the bar from the party, apparently.
Yes, it's so nice when somebody at the Barfleet party who isn't part of our community decides to barge in and use our toilet as the place to hang out for 45 minutes so that nobody can, like, you know, use the bathroom.
So, I didn't even know that was happening.
Oh, yeah, it was annoying me.
Anyways, we should wrap this up because this podcast is already an hour and 40 minutes and we haven't done News of the Stupid yet.
Oh, yeah, you better get rolling on that then.
All right, talk to you later, Ken.
Bye, Ken.
All right, take care. Okay, bye.
So that was Ken, and right now here was the aforementioned song that
this is probably my favorite Flat 29 song of all time. But there's a lot of other really great songs by them too.
Yes, Flat29.com.
Apparently my tweets helped to inspire the song in some way, shape, or form. Maybe Dan will go into more detail on how that happened in the comments, or maybe he won't. Anyways, here is
Rap Guide to the Orchestra by Flat 29 on Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
The Modern Symphony Orchestra is one of the great achievements of Western civilization. There are four main groups of instruments in this large and still growing family. First, the strings.
Viola, double bass, cello or violin. You've got to choose one if you want to get into the string section. And if you want to go, the thing you've got to know is you've got to have a bow. Constructed from the hair of a horse or a man. Play it as you form notes with your left hand. But if you're in a show and you forget your bow, fuck it, just pluck it with pizzicato. Everybody gather round, you'll soon see that the orchestra is the place to be. So grab a double bass and you'll agree that together we could write a symphony.
The second section of the orchestra, the percussion.
If you want to learn an instrument, you want to learn it quick. How about you hit a circle with the big stick? A timpani is pretty simple, see? And you can play the hi-hat if you want to try that. Tam-tam, tom-tom, probably doesn't take long. If you get it wrong, you can just hit the gong. You might disagree, but that's my angle. And listen to how well I play the triangle. Well, check me out, getting down.
Yes, but I think it's a bit more complicated than that.
Oh. Everybody gather round, you'll soon see that the orchestra is the place to be. So kick a bass drum and you'll agree that together we could write a symphony.
The third section of the orchestra, the synthesizer.
You can't have an orchestra without a synth line. That's like eating fish without a glass of white wine. The first time was Tchaikovsky. He wrote the Nutcracker on an ARP. Mozart had a mini Moog on every track. He borrowed it for years till Bach took it back. Chopin's Roland made him a star. And Handel got a handle and he made a guitar. Soon see that the orchestra is the place to be. So grab a mini Moog and you'll agree that together we could write a symphony.
The final section of the orchestra, the Nintendo Game Boy.
1989, Nintendo Japan. While we were playing Tetris, they began to take classical music in a new direction. Now every orchestra has an 8-bit section. Up, up, down, down, left, right, B, A. We got the cheats for the beats that we play. And enough batteries to last the whole day. Let's tune up our Game Boys and play. Strings, percussion, synth, Game Boy ready. We're gonna put it all together. One, two, three. Everybody gather round, you'll soon see that the orchestra is the place to be. Grab Mario 2 and you'll agree that together we could write a symphony. Everybody gather round, you'll soon see that the orchestra is the place to be. So come and join in and you'll agree that together we could write a symphony.
And now it's time for...
News of the Stupid!
Created by Devo Spices at devospice.com, compiled by roving reporter Carrie Whitney, and submitted by fans like you.
Word.
I guess it's stupid to prove it innocent, cause I'm making soda beans.
This story was submitted by Kyle Hudson. A Southwest Florida man is recovering after accidentally shooting himself in the face while trying to fight off a skunk. 31-year-old Daniel McDaniels was at a friend's house Friday when he spotted the skunk. He grabbed a .22 caliber rifle and began loading it with the butt of the rifle on the ground. Manatee County Sheriff's deputies said McDaniels didn't know the gun already had a round in it when he accidentally tripped the trigger, setting off the gun. The bullet pierced the fingers of his right hand and entered his left cheek. The injuries are not life-threatening. McDaniels had this to say.
Oh, I'll get you, you wascally skunk!
This story was submitted by Tom Tip Elliott. If you got unjustly fired from your job, how would you protest? Contact the Better Business Bureau? Picket your former workplace? Rent a giant inflatable rat? How about getting naked? Bingo! It's cheap, it's easy, and fast! And stupid! Just ask a pair of former workers at a Tennessee big cat sanctuary who admitted being naked on the premises. Jake Loftus, 22, and Samuel Adams, 26, very appropriately named it seems, lived at Tiger Haven in Kingston and worked as cat keepers. They said they were drinking beer naked on their port September 16th as a protest against their recent firing. Yes, they work in a place called Tiger Haven, a place where tigers are, and their first instinct upon getting fired is to get naked. I'm sure the tigers were having this conversation.
Look at that! They're removing all that pesky protective clothing so we can get right to all the tasty parts more easily. Those are some good guys.
Good? They're great! The men said they were unjustly fired. Some men they caught stealing from their trailer while putting in an air conditioner framed them, they said. They stole $180 from us, Loftus said. We called them out on it, and they got all huffy and puffy about it and said something to the owner about us having narcotics and paraphernalia all over the place. However, the pair denied those accusations and a claim in a police report that states that they ran nude around the complex, exposing themselves to co-workers. The men said only one co-worker spotted them while they were naked on the porch of the trailer they shared at the sanctuary. Adams admitted ripping a railing off a porch after he had been drinking. I got drunk, and I got stupid, to be honest, Adams said. Well, at least he's honest about being stupid. The men said they planned to plead guilty to indecent exposure and vandalism charges. Facing today's job market, these two really had the tiger by the tail. Fortunately for them, the tigers didn't have them by their tails.
Those aren't their tails.
Why?
This story was also submitted by Kyle Hudson. If any of you out there are English lit teachers, you may have had trouble in the past teaching your students about the concept of irony, thanks largely to Alanis Morissette. Irony is, as George Carlin pointed out, a state of affairs that is the reverse of what is to be expected, a result opposite to and in mockery of the appropriate result. If you need an example to drive your point home, simply point them to this news story. Woman stabs classmate in anger management class. A 19-year-old Bellevue woman has been charged with second-degree assault after she allegedly stabbed a classmate Saturday during an anger management class. Bellevue police say Fariba Maradiaga blew up out of control and stabbed the classmate's arm and shoulder several times after the two women exchanged words. Police said Maradiaga, who already has a pending assault charge, told them that the other woman had threatened her first, according to charging documents. Maradiaga entered the classroom on the Bellevue College campus Saturday while a video on anger management was being shown, according to the charges. Maradiaga started complaining about the movie and disrupting the class, according to the documents, when the victim told Maradiaga the video was good and to give it a chance. Maradiaga, who was sitting two rows behind the victim, then stood up and started talking trash before pulling out a knife with a 3-inch blade and stabbing the other woman, police and prosecutors say. The charges say Maradiaga then threatened to kill the victim's family. Maradiaga is being held on $50,000 bail in King County Jail and is scheduled to be arraigned October 25th. Yes, it's like 10,000 spoons when all you need is a knife. Ow! Stop stabbing me!
Now, Carrie, I know you and Josh want to start a family, so you need to make sure you have everything prepared for when your 9 months are up.
Okay.
So, do you know the quickest route to the hospital from your home and from work?
Yes, I do.
Do you have your pediatrician's number on speed dial?
Yes, I do.
Have you picked out the Walmart you're going to rob?
Wait, what?
Alliance, Ohio police say a woman went into labor while trying to rob a local Walmart. Katura Petty and Stanil Petty were arrested and charged with theft and forgery. Police say the women stole $271 worth of computer software. The excitement must have been too much for Katura Petty, as officers say she went in labor shortly after getting nabbed by police. She was transported to the hospital before getting booked. Any questions?
Yes. If the computer software they stole was all copies of the video game Grand Theft Auto, would that have been ironic? People are stupid, and once again, they have proven it.
It's like rain on your wedding day.
This has been News of the Stupid. And now it's time for...
What's Luke plugging now?
Yeah. What's at the Fump? What's at that Fump?
Aw, shucks.
Right now, for free, you can download At the Fump Halloween Night by Dino Mike, Halloween by Steve Goody, Act Pottery by Nuclear Bubble Wrap, On My Own by Positude, Spookier Than You by TV's Kyle, Zombie and Bee by Tom Smith, Electric Razor Blues by Power Salad, and Onry Handjob by Sea Monkey.
Over at LukeSki.com, you can download the free MP3 of the week, The Ballad of Optimus Prime. And I have a question for those of you who are, you know, fans of mine, especially longtime fans of mine. Is the whole free MP3 of the week thing at my website, like, worth it anymore? Does anybody care? It's kind of becoming a pain in the ass to deal with for myself and Sarah. So I'm considering, you know, just dropping it from the website. But I don't know. Maybe people like that. So
if you care, speak up.
Yes, let us know your opinion via comments for this show. At the LukeSki.com store, you can get Greatest Hits Volume 1, 2 CD set, and Water Rip Off Volume 2, and many other things. So go check that out. Art by LukeSki.com. Yes, I'm looking for caricature gigs for Halloween and Christmas parties and album covers of time travel related mystery show things. So contact me if you would like something along those lines, as others have. And now, here's a promo.
Hi, this is Dr. Demento. I'm celebrating my 40th anniversary with a very special Dr. Demento show. I'll tell the story of how the show began in 1970 and grew and prospered through the decades. I'll play more than 30 of our greatest demented songs, complete and uninterrupted. That show will be available for streaming starting Saturday, October 9th at drdemento.com. Along with the 40th anniversary show, we have over 500 other complete Dr. Demento shows available, including a new 2-hour tribute to Star Trek. All shows available indefinitely at just $2 per complete show. There's a new show every Saturday, and an older show is also added every week. The Dr. Demento Show online at www.drdemento.com.
So, yeah, do that. Tour dates. I have WindyCon, which is in the Chicagoland area, November 12th through 14th. Their website is windycon.org, WindyCon.org. Of that weekend, I will be performing Sunday at 11 a.m., which is November 14th, as a part of their, you know, Filk and Music track and such. So, yeah, if you're going to be in the area, if you're going to be at that con, come check me out there.
And I will be performing at Northeastern Illinois University on 7:30 p.m.-ish, Friday, November 19th, I will be part of a musicals and operas scene recital class. I will be doing a French scene, and I will be playing a male role that's meant to be played by a female. And if you're allergic to two girls getting it on, then don't show up. So,
what would the name of that allergy be?
Of what?
What would that allergy be, like, the scientific name for it be?
I don't know.
We should figure that out.
Girlophobic? Girl on girlophobic? I don't know.
Yeah, if you can think of what the, if you're allergic to woman on woman stuff, what would that scientific name be? Go to comments.
Yes. You need to be creative for us, because yes. We're too lazy to do it ourselves.
We've had a long couple of months here. Anyway, yeah, what shade of pink are you wearing today, Carrie?
I'm wearing a Perfect Carrie bubblegum pink. I don't think I've worn this on the show. It's from a popular store in Chicago called The Alley, and the design is laid out to look like a bottle of Jack Daniels, and it says The Alley Old Number 13 Brand Quality American Rock Shop Chicago, USA. And the reason I'm not wearing the shirt that you gave me is because it's dirty, because I already wore it, and I didn't wash it yet.
Okay. So, a few quick ignorant stories. Back on the front of the ever-recurring theme of names that are dumb, and I want to point out that the people who I'm referring to here were nice people. They were polite and everything. It's just kind of like, you know, like... guys who name their kids after themselves, like, you know, my name is Tom, I named my son Tom, so he's Tom Jr.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, I could never do that, you know, but it's just me not, either. It's not my way, but I can understand other
kids
people doing things like that.
Names.
You know, so, but this is like some kind of weird thing gone to an extreme. This large family of people there, and these are four different children, their names were Chris Style, Christelle, Krishina, and Krisha. So
these are the sisters' names?
They were boys and girls in here, but it was C-H-R-I-S and then something after it. So it's Chris something.
How could any of those be a boy's name?
I can't remember which one. I think Chris Style, the first one. C-H-R-I-S-T-Y-L-E.
That's an embarrassingly feminine boy's name.
Yes. Chris Style. So Chris and then Tile, T-Y-L-E. Chris Tile! Chris Tell, T-E-L-L, Chris Sheena, Chris H-I-N-A, and Krisha, C-R-I-S-H-A. And it's like, those are the two that get me. Chris Sheena and Krisha. It's like, you already had one of those, and then you went with the other one on purpose. It's like, if you're going to do something like this, you need to make sure the end parts are different enough. It just blows my mind. Like, wow, so if it's the father who's named Chris, it's like, wow, you have some gigantic fucking ego if you're going to name all four of your kids. It's like it's like George Foreman. He has like seven kids and they're all named George Foreman. Yeah. Do you know about that? Yeah.
Yeah, I heard about that. And it kind of reminds me of two of my cousins. My Uncle Roger's oldest girl is Kelsey, and then the second oldest is Callie, which I kind of didn't like it when they... I love my cousin Callie, but... For two reasons, I didn't like it when they named her Callie. One, Kelsey and Callie sound too similar. And two, it's C-A-L-L-I-E. So now there's a Carrie Dalby out there and there's a Callie Dalby out there.
Hmm.
But after that, they had two more daughters with completely different names, thankfully.
There was also in that greater group a woman named Shashanida. So it's S-H-A-S-H-A-N-E-I-D-A.
Oh my God.
And it's like...
I just think that Chris Style for a man, that's just cruel.
Chris Style sounds like, you know, I'm trying to think of a clever thing to come up with for a rap name, you know.
Yeah, I
know, because I'm part of some group. I need to do a play in my name.
But when you actually look at it, it looks so much like Crystal that it's just cruel.
Yeah. So, I had another situation where, like, you know, I'm standing behind my sign that says what the prices are, and someone comes up, he can see that I'm behind the sign, but the sign is in his way, so he had to, like, specifically, like, move his head around to the side of the sign, so it was like, you know, him, like, you know, there's the sign, there's his head, like, his face is literally next to the sign, and he says to me, yeah, how much is this? And it's like, I just wanted so bad to take a picture of him just to prove that this was true. And it's like, well, that big square rectangular thing that you had to specifically move your head around to avoid so that you could see me, that's where the information is on how much the chip costs, you ignorant motherfucker!
Maybe he's illiterate.
Maybe. So, and another thing, and this is, it's like, I had like a little... Like, you see, like, it's almost like for trick-or-treat candy, like a little pre-wrapped thing of, like, two Oreo cookies in one tiny package. It's like I had gotten my hand on one of those, but I hadn't opened it to eat it yet, and I had it just kind of sitting on my table.
Mm-hmm.
It was near the end of the night, and I get done, this kid comes up, and immediately he's like, does this cost? How much is, can you draw me for free? And then I'm like, no, no, no. And then he's like, what's that? I'm like, it's cookies. Can I have it? No. Then he reaches over. Doesn't like pick it up and like run off with it. He like puts his hand in it, so he's like touching it, like gripping it with his fingers, still sitting at the table, and says to me, why can't I have it? And I said, because it's mine.
Yeah.
And he did, and even me saying it in that tone didn't get through to him, like, it's wrong for you to, you know, it's first of all, it's inappropriate for you to have asked to take it in the first place. Then after I tell you no, you put your hands on it and ask me to justify why I said no. Fuck you! Get away from my fucking stand!
Did I tell you that similar story about... Did I tell it on the podcast about a guy on the bus who wanted my Weight Watchers flyer?
No, you didn't. I don't think so.
I was going home on the bus from Weight Watchers one night, and I had... It's not a flyer. It's like a little itty-bitty mini magazine, almost, that they started giving out a different one every week to their members. And I'm reading it, and this guy behind me, he's like, where'd you get that? I'm like, Weight Watchers. And then, like, 5 minutes later, he's like, do they give you those for free and at Weight Watchers? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, will they give you another one if you ask for it? I'm like, yeah. He's like, can I have that one? I'm like, no. He's like, well, why not? You can get another one. And I'm like, because it's mine. And he's like, he kept continued to argue with me to try to argue me out of my possession. And I'm finally just like, I just ended the conversation by saying, no, it's mine. You can't have it. And I put it in my bag. And it may sound maybe I should have just given it to him, but I feel like even if it was just a newspaper or something, why does somebody sit there and try to argue you out of your item? And it's just kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So time for comments.
Yay.
So
go at the end of the show.
This time.
Apparently forever. We've done it like 5 times in a row.
No, we did it at the beginning of the show last time.
You want me to start this?
This one. Okay. First one is a comment for episode 19. Charlie of Flat 29 decided to chime in by leaving this comment. Sorry, Luke and Carrie, I'm just going to butt in on your comments page. Hi, Sean, because Sean had left a comment about, you know, giving Flat 29 a chance and not being too into it because he had felt like there was...
like they were too British.
Like what's the word? Brito-centric? I don't even know if that's a word.
Brito?
I'm an American. I'll make up words. America! So,
Brito? Is that anything like Brita, the water filter? Brito?
That's how you filter the piri-piri sauce. Anyway, he says, hi, Sean. You make a valid point about the topicality of some of Flat 29's podcasts. When were the ones you listened to from? Or wait, when were the ones you listened to from?
Yeah, that's what you said.
Okay, just checking. The earlier ones were more reliant on comment on topical issues, but the podcast has developed and... But as the podcast... I can't even fucking read. You know, they're from the country where English came from, and it's... I can't even...
Do you want me to read it?
Tile! The podcast has developed and the overseas audience has grown. There has been an effort to mention less UK-specific issues, although we do have to mention the odd one or two as this keeps us British. Have you heard the episode, The Time-Traveling Musical Adventures of Sherlock Holmes the Musical? Not only did Luke do some awesome artwork for it, but I'm not sure it could get any less topical. Well, that's certainly true.
You couldn't get any less topical about any topic.
So there we go. Thank you very much, Charlie and Sean. That gives you something to think about, potentially respond to, or whatever. But
so now Dan listens to our podcast seemingly regularly, and now even Charlie has listened to possibly one, or maybe not at all. But anyways, he only responded to a commenter, so perhaps he hasn't listened. But it's still cool that he
commented. Well, it's once again, like you said earlier, talking about Shy Show. It's like that whole thing of, you know, when we find cool acts we like, we want to bring them into the fold, into this community, and let everyone know about them. So it's like, you know, I know people probably think I have some, like, you know, effigy doll of, you know, of Dan and Charlie and Rich and a little shrine with candles around it made out of, like, macaroni. It's like, yes, I will worship the Flat 29. They are the precious. It's like, I'm really not that far into...
Just think Flat 29 is awesome and that they're, like, going to be famous. And they're not yet. So as long as they're not yet, then we can have them.
Flat 29 is the new insane Ian. Ooh, just kidding, Ian. Although the next song Ian makes will most likely get played on this show.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes, indeed. So Ian will be back. Oh, yes, Ian will be back. We have a voice comment. So might as well play that now. And I'll let you... I'll turn this up.
Playing the voice comment. It's time to play the voice comment. We gotta cue it up, so I gotta fill the space. Okay, go.
Okay, so that was a comment. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for that information, commenter.
So, yeah, apparently somebody caught their kid just by the kid's self singing the alphabet song over and over again and thought this would be perfect for our podcast.
I can't imagine a better form for it.
And as always, when you actually get up close to the kid to put the mic in their face so that they can say something, that's when they stop talking. So...
Arkel says, I'm impressed at how well Luke did reading my long-ass comment so quickly. In the future, I'll try to keep him shorter.
Okay, thank you, Arkel. Draconis says, hand job tile? Honey mustard? Oh! Trice Lukeski! Okay! And in case you're one of the, you know, three people who don't know what the hell we're talking about, that has to do with a recurring sketch on the Cirque du Soleil sketch comedy album, Procrastinators of the Apocalypse.
Mr. Analog says, the guy who sang What's Luke Plugging Now first at Archon was me! And yes, there is something wrong with us. Mostly insomnia, as it is 2:06 a.m. as I type this.
All right. Elizabeth says, hey, Luke and Carrie, great episode again. I loved hearing about the wedding recap. Would be at Con and the Cob, but I will be wrapping up the Ohio Renaissance Festival 2010 season. Wish the dates didn't conflict.
That reminds me of some guy who tweeted at us, who is apparently a fan of ours and is a trucker. And he was
really?
Saying he had to go right through Hudson and didn't get to stop at the con because he was only there to drive his truck.
Aw, sorry, dude.
Cap, I don't know if he listened to the podcast, but he listened to our music anyways.
Okay.
Captain Nova says, playing of the recording of the guests that couldn't make it was cool. The beat poetry Mishki did was cool. See you at Con on the Cob.
And indeed we did.
And now here's another one you can read quickly.
Okay, Bar Scorpio, or Bar One Scorpio says, Luke's wedding photo, is it just me or does he look like Mike Myers doing some new character? No, I look like Chris Farley doing an old character. Just saw a preview of some of the pages for the Consortium of Genius new album/comic project, Music for Supervillains, and there's no Lukeski in there? Would have thought you have been one of the first ones in. That was a cool image of Drumbot you did for them. Yeah, I wasn't involved with the artwork for that comic project, so I probably would have snuck myself in there if I had been, but anyway. What's the best haunted house in the Chicagoland area now, and how does it compare to the haunted house of Wisconsin?
I actually have something to say.
Okay.
Because I figured you probably didn't.
I don't.
I've actually been to one Chicagoland area haunted house. It's called Raven's Grin. It's in Mount Carroll, and it's pretty fucking awesome. It's in what seems to be a genuinely haunted house, and there's this, like, goofy and probably illegal, doubt if it's even still there, slide thing where you slide from the top floor of the house down into the basement, and it's a real house, and it's very cool. I was there years ago with an ex-boyfriend, and the ex-boyfriend was a friend of the guy who ran the place, so we got like the super long extended version of the tour. And the guy's girlfriend, at least at the time, knew Neil Innes or whatever.
Hmm.
The guy, I think I got the... I might be confusing Neil with Innes with someone else, but it's the guy who plays the John character in The Ruddles.
Yeah.
That is Neil Innes?
I'm pretty sure it is.
So there's a lot of...
Carrie loves The Ruddles.
A lot of cool niftiness about Raven's Grin, but I haven't been to any other ones, and I've never been to any Wisconsin ones.
I mean, like, the haunted, like, the ghost tours of New Orleans, like, that kind of realness of stories and stuff like that I'm kind of more into. Like, the whole notion of going to the bad haunted house, it's like...
You'd like Raven's Grin, though. It's very creative.
I don't know.
It's very... No. Trust me. I know you. When I say Luke, yeah, but, you would like blank, like, say, Luke. You would like flat 29. You know,
but I mean, like, all those commercials for, like, the haunted houses, it's like, you know, Kansas's haunted silo of death. We have 800 people here to make you shit your pants. You know,
well,
it's like...
Raven's Grin is different.
That kind of stuff I'm not into.
Raven's Grin is very artsy-fartsy haunted house. You'd really enjoy it, trust me.
Okay.
Anyways, moving on with Bar One Scorpio's comment.
Yes, and some music to suggest. Palette Swap Ninja...
Oh, you missed a whole paragraph.
Oh, sorry. Got a friend who works the Toledo Zoo as a caricature artist, though she'll be working hollow weekends at Cedar Point by now. And at Okatan this year, the woman in the table next to me was drawing zombie caricatures. I was wondering how your work changes up during the Halloween month, and if you have any tips for anyone else in the field. Basically, no. unless someone specifically asks me to do something in a different style, I just kind of do what I always do, Halloween. Except I might be wearing a costume when I do it.
And
so,
do you have any tips for other caricature artists?
Stay out of my turf. If I can think of any genuinely helpful tips for caricature artists in the future, I will say them on this show. But right now I'm blanking, so I'll move on. He says, and some music to suggest. Palette Swap Ninja's Arcade Gaming Shrine finally has an official music video. Notable that the singer and several of the people who are depicted playing video games work for Future Publishing, the people behind the number of gaming magazines, including Official Xbox Magazine, PlayStation, The Official Magazine, and PC Gamer. Dan Amrich, the guy in the pink tie, is also the new community leader for Activision at the blog oneofswords.com. So I checked out this music video because I hadn't heard of it. It is a parody of a song that's been parodied over and over and over again, but dare I say it, that this is an actual, you know, fresh idea and works with the song well. So I grabbed the audio, and we will play it at the end of the show as our outgoing song. So thank you very much to Bar One Scorpio for passing that along. And if you would like to see the music video, go to his comment from episode 25, and there's a link to it there. So, that is the end of the comments. So if you would like to make comments, go to badrapport.com and, you know, click on this episode's commenty thingy, and you can leave a comment for episode 26.
And apparently we're looking for song origins. So.
Yeah, when I was putting together the outline for today's show, I had this bad nagging feeling that there was a song origin we were asked to do that we completely forgot and just kind of got left behind. So
if you know which one that was, speak up.
Yes, or if you think of new ones, let us know and we will tell you about them. You can also leave messages for us at the voicemail line. Yes, if you know the alphabet and would like to recite it to us, call 916-LUKE-SKI. That's 916-585-3754 and leave us a voicemail message. We'll play it on the show. We haven't got any new iTunes reviews in a while, so if you felt like helping us out, you could go to iTunes and tell people what you think.
Or just leave us a star rating.
Yes.
You don't even have to write a review.
We're still at 4.5 stars, which is shocking considering our
baffling, in fact.
Yes, baffling.
We have our Twitter page, Bad Report, @BadReport, or you can find us on Facebook.
Yes.
Where we don't really post things unless there's a new episode.
So, anything else you can think of, Carrie?
I think this show is too goddamn long. Let's kill it now.
All right, so this has been Luke.
This has been Carrie.
And this has been Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Woo-hoo-hoo!
Just left the mall, they had no games at all. He stopped by to play Daytona USA. The arcade closed its doors back in 2004. In just a few years, the coin-ops disappeared. He was gonna own an arcade, he was gonna rent a space, he was gonna get some neon to illuminate the place. But now it seems to be Xbox and PS3. He liked the simpler time of joysticks, tokens, offline with his Pac-Man Defender. The smiley face adventure with Sub-Zero and Chun-Li, and playing golf with Golden Team with Cresta Reactor, serving beer and Tapper. He wishes he could find an arcade gaming shrine. All the classics from the early days. He found a disc of Tron down at the pizza place. He bought a couple more from the old convenience store, took them off their hands, and then he hatched a plan. All these modern games, while they're still fun, few
Time and
Pac-Man and Crossbow and Sega's Congo Bongo. There was Goro and Cammy and Blasting Bugs and Centipede from Q-Bert to Mappy.
The Wizard needs so bad.
It gives him peace of mind. The arcade gaming shrine. Shrine.
You're listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
This is like a cutscene from Red Dead Redemption.
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.